Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a fun thing we're about to throw out there for you here today on the show. We're going to join the Fan Morning Show from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. Jeff Rickert and Joe Stasniak, the morning show there in Indy. We're going to have some fun conversation, some fun banter back and forth ahead of tonight's matchup between the AFC South leading Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts, just a game behind the Titans right now. Some injury updates quickly. Jadeveon Clowney expected to be in tonight. Roger Saffold expected to be in tonight for the Titans as well. Adoree Jackson activated yesterday off of injured reserve. Is not expected to play tonight. Adam Humphries not expected to play tonight either. So a mixed bag there on the Titans injury front. Going to be interesting to see how that impacts the game tonight, and we'll see what sort of an impact Jadeveon Clowney by himself could have coming back in maybe a little bit earlier than otherwise anticipated. So looking forward to seeing how that goes for the Titans tonight against the Colts, and looking forward to this conversation we're about to have with 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis with the Fan Morning Show, Jeff Rickert and Joe Stasniak. We're going to join them momentarily here, and as a matter of fact, I think we're ready to go right now. So without further ado,
join us now from 102.5 and 94.9 The Game down in Nashville. Good morning, man. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fine. In the name of the rivalry, I will admit right off the bat, I have been known to say some less than spectacular things about Nashville over the last few years. I hope you guys forgive me in the name of the rivalry.
We will forgive you temporarily, but I know that a lot of Titans fans right now, I mean, those are fighting words.
Let's hear it.
I made a very mild one of these. Okay, I'll say.
Bachelorette party down there one time, I think.
And I made mention of that and may have uttered the words, Nashville's a good city, but it's overrated.
Okay.
Then, of course, my partner, Joe Stasniak, of course, now, of course, I hate the city with a passion, according to him, which is not true.
And I've engraved my name in the walls there at Tootsie, so I love Nashville.
Well, you run into the wrong bachelorette party for sure. That could rub you the wrong way, because there's a lot of awful singing that can go on when you get stuck behind that.
No, I will tell you this, though, man, whether it's Printer's Row there or just the Parthenon, every time I've gone there, I have had a good time. But having said that, when it comes to football, it's rivalry time now in the AFC South. And so let me ask you guys, first question here is Mike Vrabel and his effect on that franchise and what he's been able to do there. Kind of fill us in on why he seems to be the right guy in the right place there.
Yeah, Vrabel's, you know, it's interesting because I swear about a year ago, actually it's funny, I think we were talking about this earlier in the show, about a year ago, I don't think there was a lot of happiness about Mike Vrabel. They were 2-4. There were some late-game decisions that weren't working out. And there was talk about, man, the Colts got Frank Reich and the Titans settled for Mike Vrabel. And obviously, you know, they turned it around, had the great run in the postseason. People talking about Coach of the Year this year. I think, you know, look, when he got hired, he didn't really have the resume to get this job, but it was a, quote, leader of men hire, right? A lot of belief that he just had the right personality, had the respect because he had played recently. Some of these guys actually remember Vrabel playing in the league. I mean, how many times do you see guys who had that kind of career? We're talking about, you know, eight figures earnings who want to sign up for this grind. I mean, you don't see it very often. And he did. And, I mean, he's just he's a football guy from Ohio. So he has a good balance with these guys where he definitely gets after people, but I think he actually has good relationships. And anybody who's worked around Vrabel, I mean, the football genius thing is thrown around a lot and probably way too often, but I've heard a lot of people say you wouldn't believe listening to this guy break down film and stuff like that. I mean, he's a football guy all the way through. So far he really has a nice, I think, balance with these guys.
You guys certainly have a system down there that's going well, and Ryan Tannehill's been one of those guys. I am shocked, and I don't know if you guys are shocked by it, but why has he had the success in Nashville that he didn't have in Miami and just was thought of as kind of a flop?
Well, I think when you look at the system that Arthur Smith runs here with the Titans, obviously having Derrick Henry helps, and we know that Derrick Henry is just a freak. He's one of probably the most unique running backs we've ever seen in the history of the NFL. So Arthur Smith, the Titans offensive coordinator, has done a really good job of marrying the two in terms of making sure the running game is the focal point of the offense, but also Ryan Tannehill has been fantastic out of play action off of some of those sets as well. And when they've had to throw the ball and come back in games, he's been able to do that as well. I mean, you look at his year so far, he's completing 65% of his passes. He's got 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. And I think you just look, and the more you talk to people out of Miami, the more you kind of start to hear that maybe it wasn't Ryan Tannehill that was the problem in Miami. Maybe it was the system around him. Maybe it was the players around him. And also certainly injuries that affected him down there in Miami. But ever since he's come in as the starting quarterback with the Titans, Joe talked about in the last question about Vrabel, you know, the Titans being 2-4 last year, a lot of questions about Vrabel and his future here. Well, a lot of that had to do with the quarterback position. Marcus Mariota was not getting the job done, and this team totally shifted when Ryan Tannehill took over as the starting quarterback. And you match up some of his numbers since he's been the starting quarterback for the Titans, and whether it's third down percentage, whether it's red zone percentage, really whatever number you want to throw out there, it's very comparable with guys like Patrick Mahomes and guys like Aaron Rodgers. And you don't think of Ryan Tannehill in that same ilk, but that's how good he's been since he's taken over as starting quarterback of the Titans. Now, I will say, in the last 3 games without Taylor Lewan in there, the Titans left tackle, it's been a little bit more difficult, a little bit more challenging for Tannehill, and he's gone up against 2 very good defenses in Pittsburgh and Chicago, and will face another one tonight in Indianapolis, as you guys are very well aware of. But Ryan Tannehill has played the highest level of quarterback around here since the Titans had Steve McNair, and it really hasn't been particularly close.
It's Jeff and Big Joe here, the Fan in Indy, talking to Robbie and Rex Road down in Nashville right now on the game, and we're talking about the Thursday night contest this evening, 8:20 Eastern, 7:20 Central, with the Colts and the Tennessee Titans. And guys, I'm just curious too, you know, following up on my last question about Mike Vrabel, there's been a lot of adversity already in this first half of the season for the Titans, whether it's been COVID, whether it's been injuries, all of those kinds of things. They seem to have done a pretty good job working through that. What's been their secret to keeping things rolling through everything?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, they've not played as well lately. Of course, you know, really bad loss against Cincy. And even then, I was like, well, I'm sure they still prefer getting ripped for their football stuff right now than what was happening a few weeks earlier. I mean, you know, hey, there was a week there where I saw people around the league saying the Titans should have their season revoked and, you know, get cast off to the new XFL or whatever with all the COVID stuff. You know, they had the outbreak, which I think we saw certainly was at least in part some holes in the NFL protocols. But obviously they got fined. There was an investigation. It was day after day. It was like every morning on this show, guys, we're sitting in here like, okay, where's Tom Pelissero with the daily COVID report, and who, you know, how many positives today? I mean, it was a nightmare for the organization. And, you know, they got through it. I mean, the win over Buffalo, you're talking about a team with no practice, basically, for a couple weeks, having to switch around its off week and all that kind of stuff, playing on a Tuesday night against a great team, or a team we thought was great, maybe is great, maybe will be great, but to blow them out was kind of a statement and kind of, I think, a galvanizing effect for the team. You know, I mean, they stuck through it with all that stuff going on, got past it, and yeah, it has been. It's been a wild season. I mean, it's not over in this league. We just saw the Raiders apparently are now the scourge of the NFL, you know, on the COVID front. But they've kind of moved past that. Maybe it is sort of a team bonding theme for them. But I also think that they had some sloppiness and some things that they had to get better at in their facility.
Well, boys, you're 6-2, and you lead the division, and so not all has been terrible for you. But I will say I was a bit surprised at the number of points that you guys have been giving up on that defensive side of the ball. So I guess my main question here would be, what is going on with your lack of pass rush, just 10 sacks on the year? And with that, Jadeveon Clowney, I imagine, was signed to kind of help with that. How is he playing and is he everything that you would hope for?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because Jadeveon Clowney so far this season has been an absolute lightning rod of conversation here in Nashville. No sacks so far on the season. Now, in fairness to him, he has been dealing with a bit of a knee injury, and that's been a problem for him for a few weeks now. It looks like he's going to play tonight against the Indianapolis Colts, and we'll see how that affects it. But You guys should have been on the show last week. It was like the sky was falling defensively with the Titans before the game against the Chicago Bears. It's amazing what going up against the Bears and Nick Foles will do for your defense. They got three sacks in that game. Clowney didn't even play in that game, and the Titans looked like a totally different team defensively. But, no, that's been a huge issue all season long. I mean, they signed Vic Beasley in the offseason, who led the NFL in sacks in 2016. They've already made the decision to move on from him. He was a total disaster here in Nashville. He just didn't look like the effort was there at times. He didn't generate anything from a pass rushing standpoint. And they've been without their best cornerback in Adoree Jackson all season long. And certainly that hasn't helped in coverage either. And he will not play again tonight for the Titans. So it's been kind of a mixed bag on defense, largely bad for the most part so far. They're coming off their best game of the year defensively against Chicago and hoping to carry that forward against Indianapolis tonight. But a lot of questions here in Nashville about what that's going to look like, because it's been rough so far.
Yeah, the third down D right now is still on pace to blow away the NFL record for bad third down D. But they did take it down from like 62 to 54% last week. So
absolutely.
The Bears help.
On here in ESPN 102.5 The Game here in Nashville, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad. On with 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis, Jeff Rickard and Joe Stasniak, looking ahead to tonight's game between the Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. And one thing a lot of Titans fans are curious about, guys, what are you seeing from Phillip Rivers through the first eight games of the season? Now, I will say this. I saw his attempt to make a tackle on Sunday, and that was the first time in my life I felt like, okay, that's exactly what I would look like on an NFL field. But that tackling attempt aside, what have you guys seen from Phillip Rivers through the first eight games?
Yeah, Gator from Animal House kind of attack. That was pretty awful. But that in itself, that is our lightning rod question here. Did we make the right choice here? What were we going to do as a quarterback or at that quarterback position? Jacoby Brissett, the last half of the year, wasn't 100% healthy, but he didn't have any wide receivers. The team was a flop the second half of the year, and they had to find somebody that was going to just be efficient. Well, they got that in Phillip Rivers. Through most of the season, he's completed 70% of his passes and currently sitting at about 68%. And the other thing was that Jacoby Brissett would not complete a pass over 5 yards. They were all little dinks and dunks. We couldn't get the ball down the field, and we're a little bit better in those yards per attempt, but still not where we need to be. And again, it's the same thing that's kind of hit this Colts offense. It's a lack of health at that wide receiver position. Michael Pittman was one of our high draft choices, and he'd been dealing with and just came off surgery. Paris Campbell, this was going to be his breakout year. The kid is outstanding and has shown so much promise, just little dinks and dunks, and he will get the ball down the field. We can run reverses with him. You can do all that. He's been out of the equation, and so it's been at the feet of T.Y. Hilton, who's not been healthy. So, again, it's the same problem here with receivers not being there, not being 100% healthy. Jack Doyle won't play tonight. He's got a concussion. There's a Pro Bowl tight end, so it's not having the targets. The offensive line's been just nothing short of spectacular when it comes to pass blocking. They've been absolutely phenomenal for having a statue standing back there. The seven sacks, eight sacks on the year, a couple of those just been silly and Phillip Rivers' fault. But he's completed passes. We've just not completed enough of them down the field. And you hit on it. This may be where the game is decided tonight. We were really, really bad on third down, just 17%, 2 of 12 in this last game. And right now the Colts overall in the NFL, 28th in the league, only converting at a 38% rate. That's awful and not something that we expect. So right there, I think, getting those money downs, Phillip Rivers has not been a money quarterback on money downs, and that's really hurt him.
Yeah, and like you said, guys, it wasn't working out with Brissett last year. I mean, Phillip Rivers is an upgrade. But it's a short-term fix, and I know we're focused on this game tonight, but I do wonder, what do you think it looks like out there for the future? Because I look at this team, and I think it's a really good roster on both sides of the ball right now, a team that is in, quote-unquote, go-for-it mode. I just don't know if Rivers is good enough to get you all the way there. What are the thoughts about, quarterback and the future with the Colts?
Yeah, we were talking about this morning, and I think Joe and I go a little bit of a different way. Joe's pretty convinced that, I think, Joe, not to speak for you, that Phillip Rivers is going to be here next year regardless, unless something really amazing falls into the laps of the Indianapolis Colts. I think it remains to be seen with a healthy T.Y. Hilton, hopefully, for the second half of the season. How do those guys connect? Does that start to take things in the other direction? Remember, the Colts have been playing without Paris Campbell, who they thought was going to be a big part of their passing offense this year, without their lead running back in Marlon Mack. So I think there's some fairness to be given to Phillip for their playmakers haven't really been here this year. But the second half of the season is going to decide that. They got a young kid they drafted in the fourth round named Jacob Eason that fans are excited about, that the Colts seem to really want to bring along really slowly and don't think that he's ready to play in the NFL at this point in time. And it may very well be, depending on how the second half of this season goes, if it doesn't go well for Phillip Rivers, that the quarterback of the future is not on this roster. And they may have to look at maybe even some trades or trying to draft somebody late in the first round. They're never going to be in a position probably to be in the top 10 again like they were a couple years ago when they took a franchise offensive line guy in Quentin Nelson. But, yeah, that quarterback situation with the rest of this roster set is very much up in the air over the next 2-3 years, and I don't know that there's a definitive answer to that.
Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game here in Nashville, joining Jeff Rickard and Joe Stasniak on 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. And guys, you have to understand, especially on game days between the Titans and the Colts, the night before, like when Titans fans go to sleep, they close their eyes, and the guy that pops up in their dreams is T.Y. Hilton. I mean, the Titans, I don't think they've covered T.Y. Hilton one time in his career so far, but as you guys mentioned, dealing with some injuries this year, the production not where we've seen it in years past. What's the update on T.Y. Hilton's health, and why do you think he's struggled from a numbers perspective so far this year?
He's ready to roll tonight. He has not been hampered at all by that groin injury that kept him out last week. So that's been the big news. Now, of course, probably like you guys, all they did was do walkthroughs this week. But if, you know, that full injury report, if they were going full go or whatever, he'd be ready. And I think he is ready. And I think we're ready to have him step up and get after it. He's talked about it. Started off the season, he's had 4 drops in key situations. That's not been fantastic, obviously. Been a little slow because of the groin. And I think because of the COVID situation and having Phillip Rivers, when he did get to town, not being able to get together, the two of them have just never found that rhythm. And I think it's because both of them are a little quirky. Obviously, Phillip Rivers is quirky in the way he throws the ball. It's downright ugly, actually. But he throws a good ball. It's just the way it gets there, I think, is a little odd. And then it's always been known that Andrew Luck had this special little thing with T.Y. Hilton. T.Y., when you look at him, probably isn't the most intricate of route running, and it isn't the most fundamentally sound when it comes to that. Andrew just knew when he was going to be open or trusted that he would be, and he would throw him the ball where it needed to be. Phillip's still learning how to do that with T.Y., so I think that's been a bit of an issue too. But at his age, of course, this is a contract year for T.Y. Hilton too. Could he come back here? I think they would love for him to have a big game and be able to do that. But at this point, is financially sound as Chris Ballard has been with the checkbook, and knowing how much money we are spending on quarterbacks right now, don't forget, we still have Andrew Luck money on our books, $15 million for Jacoby Brissett, $25 million for Phillip Rivers. Paying T.Y. is not going to be in the future. If he wants to be here, he's going to really have to pick things up the second half of the season, I believe. But we've just been in shambles at that wide receiver position. We are greatly in need of him to step up, be that leader, be that go-to guy. But so far this season, we have not seen the rapport of a number one receiver and the quarterback yet. And that's just been, it's been hard for us to put our finger on, but I think it just goes to not enough time together.
Well, this is definitely the right opponent for him to get well against based on history. So guys, we've talked some today about rivalry, and really some this week. We had a poll question about to listeners on, you know, who's the biggest rival for the Titans, and the Colts and Ravens are the top two vote getters. But what about the other side? How do Colts fans view the Titans in terms of rivalry within the division, within the rest of the league?
I think it's going to become a bigger rivalry than it has been perceived to be. And, Joe, feel free to jump in here. Look, during the Peyton Manning years, it was very one-sided. Then Andrew Luck came to town, and it was very one-sided. I think now that Tennessee has had recent success against the Colts, and these two teams seem to be, along with the Texans, going to be fighting it out for the division year after year after year. I feel like this is going to become a really great rivalry in the NFL. Joe, real quickly, how do you feel about that?
Guys, the number one slam dunk hated team is the Patriots, and always will be here for a long time, and then the whole mess you had with the head coach and the offensive coordinator over there. So that's always part of it. But when it comes to the division, we had Jeff Saturday. We have him on every Monday. And Jeff said flat out, I was a little bit surprised, to be honest with you, because the way Houston's come on here recently. But he said, number one, there is no doubt it is Tennessee is the biggest rival. And it just comes down to, and I remember talking to Jeff when he was playing, and I was doing some commentating, so I was down there at the games. And I said, why is that? And he said, it was because every single time we went up against Tennessee, they would just beat our ass in the trenches, big, strong, and it was a physical ball game. And it wasn't until the Colts came out and beat Tennessee playing their football, their brand of football, and this is back in the Peyton Manning era, that they really started to move in the right direction. So I think that really has a lot to play in. And the fact that this game is going to be close, no matter what, this game is going to be close, no matter what the records and everything, because it is such a smash-mouth brand of football. And I think one of your players said it yesterday, it's a bloodbath. And I certainly would expect it to be an extremely physical football game. And that always makes for a great rivalry game because everybody has to be up every week. So even if it's not for the division lead, and even if it's not for pride of record and that kind of stuff, I feel like these two teams play a brand of football that it will always be a rivalry type situation.
It's good stuff. All right, we're being joined right now by Robbie and Rex Road down in Nashville. They're getting ready for, like we are, the Thursday night game between the Titans and the Colts this evening. And guys, let's start making some picks. Robbie, we'll start with you. Who do you like tonight?
I think this is going to be a bloodbath. I like that word. I like that phrase. I think it describes it perfectly. Close, back-and-forth game, swings all the way, but give me the Titans a game-winning field goal at the end, 23-20 against the Colts tonight.
Joe, who you like?
Yeah, I'm going Titans, too. I'm going 27-20. I think the Colts will do a really good job on Derrick Henry most of the night. I think that the Titans will do a pretty good job against Phillip Rivers. I'm a little puzzled about the Colts running game, why it isn't better. But I think Marlon Mack, you guys mentioned him, a big loss this year. I think the Titans defense can hang in there. And I think Ryan Tannehill's the difference tonight. Throwing to A.J. Brown. I'm throwing to Jonnu Smith. He has played at a high level for most of his time here, and I think he steps up tonight.
Jeff, who you got in the game tonight?
I like desperate teams in the National Football League. I like teams in the middle of the season that absolutely have their backs up against it and have to win and have some talent. And we know the defense is there for the Colts, and I think they have just enough talent. If they use Nyheim Hines the right way, if they can get something from a newly activated guy who they really like that's been a spark in Harris coming up for them, and I think Phillip will – he's been good Phillip, bad Phillip. I think we'll see good Phillip again tonight. Very close game, too. I like the Colts by three just because of they are so desperate to win this game. Big Joe?
Well, and that's the thing. The thing that is particular to me, I went Titans early in the week, I just see, what does Vegas know that we don't? This has gone from a point and a half to a point and now down to a pick'em game. I'm not really sure what they're seeing and what they're not seeing, other than maybe we are a bit healthier than you guys are. Our defense is legit and is going to be fun to watch, and I think it does depend on what if Saffold is strong enough and coming off that shoulder, of course, an IU guy and somebody that we like to watch here, and then your left tackle, there's an opportunity for us to get to Tannehill. I think we do shut down Derrick Henry as we'd normally do. It's that 150-yard run he has that kind of takes the game away. But I'm going to stay with the Titans at this point because I just don't know that the Colts' weapons are good enough. And, again, we go back to the Phillip Rivers and T.Y. Hilton connection. Unless that starts hitting and paying some dividends, I don't know that this Colts team is going to be able to win many games here during this really tough stretch they have.
And, guys, real quickly, too, I'm very proud of all of us, and everybody's been very gracious. I even threw out a red herring at the very beginning of this by saying Printer's Row when we all know it's Printer's Alley, and nobody called me out on it.
Good call. Hey, I got to say, too, Slippery Noodle might be my favorite bar in America.
Oh,
so
everybody agrees on that. So, yeah.
There you go. Hey, it's a love fest.
Yeah. Wish we could come down there, and maybe in future years when we get past all this COVID stuff, we'll all be able to sit around and go have some dinner or something like that. But it has been great talking to you guys this morning. Joe, Robbie, good luck the rest of the day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, you guys as well. Really appreciate it.
All right.
Good stuff, guys. Really fun stuff there. Thanks to Jeff Rickard and Joe Stasniak for joining us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game to look ahead at this matchup between the Titans and the Colts. I thought we were about to go like 2 for 2 in terms of me picking the Titans, you picking the Titans, and them both going with the Colts. But Joe changed it up there at the end. That was nice.
Big Joe kept us all from being a bunch of homers.
Yeah.
Good job. You saved us. You were supposed to talk trash. I thought you were going to talk about
trash. I talked about Philip Rivers and his attempt to tackle looking like the, you know, those like flailing arm inflatable tube mans out there in front of car, like when they're trying to sail cars and all that stuff. That's what he looked like trying to make a tackle the other day.
He reminded me of the movie Lucas.
What?
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
What
nobody.
Is that?
Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about. The movie Lucas.
When did that come out? 1979?
I was in the 80s.
Okay.
It was about a nerdy little kid who tries to play football.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of it.
It's a great flick. Actually, Corey Haim plays the role of Lucas.
Okay.
Charlie Sheen, check it out, man.
Was there a movie Google in it. The 80s that Charlie Sheen was not a part of?
Yeah, he was a part of 73% of all movies in the 80s.
Yes.
So, not many.
Him and Swayze. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Emilio Estevez.
Oh, yeah. The Brat Pack.
Yeah. It was great. Look, I'm looking forward to this game tonight, and it's interesting to hear T.Y. Hilton maybe getting a little bit healthier. We've seen what a problem he could be for the Titans. Man, if he comes out and looks like old-school T.Y. Hilton tonight, that ain't good news for the Tennessee Titans. Not good at all.
Yeah. No, and it's, you know, it sounds like from their perspective it's more injury than, you know, than him being a diminished player. I mean, I'm sure at 30 years old he's not what he was at 25, but it wasn't that long ago he still looked awfully good out there. So maybe tonight he breaks out. Titans fans don't want to hear that.
No, like I said, the Titans, I don't know if they've covered T.Y. Hilton yet in a game. So he's a guy that definitely freaks Titans fans out when they lay their head down at night to go to sleep before this game. When we come back, there's a bit of a role reversal that's taking place in the matchup between the Titans and the Colts. We'll tell you what we mean by that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Every time we play Indy, it's always you got to get ready for a bloodbath. It's going to be a very physical game. I think the team that prepares the most for this third short week Thursday night game also recovers the fastest will be the team that wins. I think historically, us as the Titans playing on Thursday night, I think if we get out to a fast start, that'd be great for us. Obviously, heading to you know the second half and the fourth quarter, we tend to usually win games. And if, when we don't start fast, like Jacksonville last year, we down 14-0, we wasn't able to recover. So I think that's going to be a big key for us is going out there starting fast so we can go get the win.
That was Titans safety Kevin Byer talking about the matchup between the Titans and the Colts and the recovery time. As we know, it's a lot to ask in today's NFL, going from playing a game on Sunday to playing on Thursday night. Now, luckily, Joe, the Titans do have a little bit of experience with that so far this year. Play the game on Tuesday night against Buffalo, turn around the next Sunday, and play against Houston at home. So there is at least some level of experience that the Titans have had with this already this year. And Vrabel, since he's been here, does a pretty good job of really focusing in on rest and I think giving a plan of guys to have enough time to recover heading into a Thursday night game or a short week of any kind.
Yeah, it's a reality of this league. So the Titans, I believe, what, they basically win all the time at home on these things and they lose all the time on the road, right? That's been the recent history.
Yep.
Makes sense. I mean, you pile on travel on top of all the other strains of a short week. Kind of makes sense from that perspective. But, yeah, Vrabel's – I mean, look, we've seen this even before. Go back to Corey Davis in camp last year when he was healthy and he'd be gone for a day and then come – Vrabel's – very big on that whole idea. So a week like this, I mean, you basically have one day of practice.
And, you know, it's interesting. We talked about maybe a potential role reversal in this game between the Titans and the Colts, and here's what I mean by that. How many times in years past have we looked at this game between the Titans and the Colts and looked on the other side and said, all right, the quarterback they've got, pretty stinking good, whether it's been Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, whatever the case may be. You think back to the days of Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, Edgerrin James in the backfield.
You know, T.Y. Hilton when he's at the height of his powers.
Dallas Clark.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts have always had the advantage at the skill positions in this game. And I think now you flip the script and you look at the Titans, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown. You can make a good argument they've got the three best skill position players in the game as a whole heading into this game. So a bit of a role reversal from the Titans to the Colts heading into this matchup on Thursday night.
Could you make a case that goes beyond that? I mean, who's number four? I mean, it's now you're getting into, like, you know, Jonnu Smith against, I guess, Phillip Rivers.
Like, you know what you're setting up tonight, right? Like, Phillip Rivers is going to throw for 370 and, yeah, like, four touchdowns. Wow. We're going to be like, maybe they didn't have the best skill players in this game.
Yeah, but you know, he may do that, but we know what he is. I mean, it's not going to change what he is. He's a formerly great quarterback who's now a good quarterback, right? I don't care what he does tonight. That's what Phillip Rivers is.
Agreed.
But it does feel like for so many years, it was, like you said, all those guys, it was more flash with the Colts, and the Titans had better, maybe just better lines, or yeah, at least they had more gritty players. Some of their best players were gritty players, defensive players.
You heard Jeff and Joe on the last segment with 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis talk about Jeff Saturday and saying, you know, Titans used to kick our butt on the line of scrimmage. And, you know, back in the days of whether it was Javon Curse back there or Kyle Vandenbosch, or even when Albert Haynesworth was here and the menace that he was up the middle, Titans always used to have that grit and that nastiness about them. And I'm not saying they don't have some of that now with Jeffrey Simmons, but their team's a little bit flashier now than it used to be with the skill position players that they have.
Yeah, I mean, any of these teams in the NFL have good guys on the lines, or they don't do anything. But the Colts would win those games, it seems like, because their skill was a little bit better a lot of times. I mean, it's certainly at quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, I think absolutely the Titans have the edge at quarterback. And I don't. There's nothing that I'll see tonight that will make me change my mind on that.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Phillip Rivers wins. Great for him, and that's a big, big win. Kind of sets up. Feels like Indy's sort of teetering right now. Like, okay, 5-3. He's good against bad teams. He's been throwing these pick. Like, prove it to us, Phillip. You know. But they make a good point too. Like, Paris Campbell could have had a huge year this year. They were setting him up to have a huge year. So some of it is injuries, and Marlon Mack, underrated player. But Derrick Henry, you know, A.J. Brown, I mean, those guys are better than anyone the Colts have.
Yeah.
At those positions. Well, I think so. There's some debate. I mean, I understand T.Y. Hilton, but track record to me doesn't matter right now. It's who's a better player right now. Maybe T.Y. T.Y. Hilton is a guy who certainly, because of his history against the Titans and because he's been banged up and who knows, at some point groin injuries heal, he's a guy that you got to be worried about tonight.
So we talk about the line of scrimmage and how important that's going to be in this game. How big of an advantage would you give the Colts in that area if Taylor Lewan's healthy in this game, as you compare the different lines of scrimmage? So let's say, just for the sake of argument, a fully healthy Titans offensive line going up against this Colts defensive front, is there still a gap there? Does Taylor Lewan close that pretty significantly? What's it look like in your opinion if he's healthy?
I think if Taylor Lewan is there, then I think the Titans for the most part feel like they can deal with, well, again, his side, he's got it. So Autry, Houston, you're fine. And then if you give a little bit of help to Kelly on the other guy, that's fine. You know, but you don't have to worry about it too much. It would make a big difference because they're going to have to do more tonight. And the thing is, when you have a guy like Buckner in there, that's where you've got to focus a lot of your focus on Buckner. So, yeah, it would make a big difference. And I would be very interested to see how the Titans deal with that. I mean, this is a big Arthur Smith game tonight. You know, it is. He's got really good players, and we all know that he's got to try to run the ball, and the Colts are going to be totally focused on stopping Derrick Henry. But this is a game where I think game plan and creativity can really make the difference.
I think so, too. And, you know, it's interesting to kind of evaluate Arthur Smith without Lewan in the fold because there are different challenges that come with it. Also, Pittsburgh's very good defensively. Chicago's very good defensively, as we've talked about. But the offense has not been as productive. And I think Arthur Smith trying to put those pieces of the puzzle together and get some of that production back hasn't quite been able to do it yet. tonight would be a good place to start against the Colts defense that's loaded. If they can go out and be productive tonight offensively, that shows me a lot from Arthur Smith, because I think it's going to be a grind.
Yeah, I think they got to ride Tannehill tonight. You know, I really do. I think you got to I think, as Porth brought up earlier, two of the last three games he hasn't started well. And really three straight, because he threw the terrible pick at Cincy. But the offense was rolling, and they just weren't finishing drives. But against those two really good defenses, they came out. It was like three and out and pressure immediately and passes that could have been picked. And just a little bit, it took them a little while to get into it. And that hadn't been the case this year. And I feel like tonight it is important early, that first offensive possession. Come out and establish something, complete a couple passes, try to get it going early, get loose early. Because the score of this game, the playing from ahead and all that, I think that is important against the Colts. I think if you get them in a situation where they know what you have to do, it gets harder to deal with that pass rush. And again, I think the pass rush is a little bit underrated too. And those are both good edge guys, better pass rushers than anybody the Titans have had this year in terms of production and, you know, demanding attention from offensive lines.
And then yet again, an interesting question tonight about the game, and it's hard for me to like bring up the game aspect of this when it's such a tragic situation, but is Corey Davis going to play? Is he going to be available tonight? Lost his brother yesterday, his older brother, to a rare form of cancer. I mean, you can't blame Corey Davis if he says, I just can't play tonight. I mean, I got to go be with my family. So we don't know what's going to happen there, but if he's not out there, I mean, that certainly has a big effect on what the Titans can do offensively.
Right. And you know, within the organization, Vrabel, Robinson, Amy Adams-Strunk, you know, they're like, hey, take whatever you need. Yeah. And it would certainly be more than understandable for Corey Davis not to be there. Sometimes players do end up playing in situations like this. We've seen it before. It helps them as a distraction, or you know, trying to stay focused on your job, and you know, maybe the family member would have wanted him to play. I mean, we've seen situations like this both ways. I have no idea what to expect on that, but from a pure football perspective, if he's not out there, you know, you don't have Humphreys either. That's a big deal. I mean, it's you're talking about a receiving core now that would feature a lot of, I think, Cam Batson, feature Khalif Raymond, and probably Nick Westbrook, the Indiana undrafted rookie who has showed some potential. But that's probably a situation, too, where, and Porth brought it up earlier also on this, Firkser, I think, is a bigger factor. He might be a factor anyway.
Yeah.
You know, on some of these situations in the red zone on third down. But you would really have to adjust to that. And then, you know, today, I mean, I would imagine the Titans probably know at this point what the situation is, but that's probably some significant scrambling late on your game plan, you know, if you don't have them.
Yeah, and I think as far as A.J. Brown is concerned, we spent a lot of time on the show talking about him today. If that's the case and you got A.J. Brown out there and maybe Corey Davis decides he's not going to play tonight, I mean, I look back to the Buffalo game and the way that they attacked Buffalo in that game. A.J. Brown, a lot of short passes in that game. And I understand maybe from an injury standpoint was in a different situation then. I think he's a little healthier now and more explosive. But they got the ball to A.J. Brown in the Buffalo game quickly, early, let him run with the ball after the catch. That may be part of the game plan anyway in this game against the Colts. But if you don't have both Davis and Humphreys, I think you'll see a lot more of that too with Arthur Smith.
Yeah, forcing the ball. That was one of those games where I thought it's like, okay, we're seeing the growth of this guy where it's like everybody knows I got to go to him, but he's still getting open, getting the ball, making plays despite that. You know, it's like your guy Devontae Adams. Somehow he finds a way to be a dominant player with very little help around him. And it may be that kind of situation again tonight for A.J.
Yeah, and we talked a lot about DeForest Buckner here on the show and just what a disruptive force he is for the Colts. If you're Arthur Smith in the Titans offense, what can you do to limit the impact he can have on the game? Obviously, the running game is the first thing you think of, but if you're Arthur Smith and you're trying to limit his impact as much as you can, what are some things that you can do?
You know, I think you've got to – probably in some ways you got to move the pocket a little bit tonight. I mean, the screen game has not been working this year, but at some point you figure it's going to be a factor. I mean, a lot of that Derrick Henry stuff that worked last year, teams clearly are devoted to not letting it work this year. But some of that, some kind of way to get those quick hitters, even some receiver screens, things like that. You know, just move things side to side and try to hit them that way. I mean, I think running right at the Colts tonight is going to be tough. If they can pull that off and do it, well, that's a big, big win. And you have to try it some, but I think the Colts are going to really make the Titans either start out a little bit different or adjust, because they are very good against the run, against everybody.
When we come back, we'll revisit the poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Where do the Colts rank in terms of the rivals the Titans fans hate the most? Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That coming up next. But first, Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game, with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub downtown today. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 5 to 7 p.m. Prior to the Titans taking on the Colts at Nissan Stadium, the NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. November is Hockey Fights Cancer Month, and the Preds Foundation needs your help towards the Smashville Donates campaign. Visit NashvillePredators.com/365Fund to make a donation to the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund presented by Twice Daily. Purchase Hockey Fights Cancer gear or learn more. You can also bid on silent auction items by texting PREDS to 76278. Follow at Preds Foundation on Twitter and Instagram for more info. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Thursday morning, looking ahead to the big matchup tonight between the Titans and the Colts. Let's revisit our poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Titans fans, which of these rivals do you hate the most? The Colts, the Jaguars, the Ravens, or you can vote for other and list your other team. Some votes for the Steelers. I've seen a vote for the Texans. You can go any way you want to go with that. Right now, almost 500 votes in, 43% say the Colts, 13% say the Jaguars, 38% the Ravens, and 6% have chosen to go with other. So the Colts leading the way right now as the most hated team among Titans fans.
On Colts game day.
Yeah, do we think this changes? Like, if we ask this question next week when they're going to Baltimore, do the Ravens win this poll?
Let's do that.
They might. I mean, we could.
Let's just do it every week, okay?
Let's do that.
Yeah. Let's compare the results one week to the other. But for me, I mean, it's the Ravens get my vote because of what's happened in the playoffs between those two teams. But I hate the matchup between the Titans and the Colts more than I hate the matchup between the Titans and the Ravens. I just hate the Ravens more.
Right.
Stand them.
Now, when you say you hate the matchup, you mean right now these teams matching up, or in general over the years you just...
Titans-Colts?
Yeah, like... Well,
just in general, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, overall.
Like the Ravens,
over the years.
Right,
yeah.
Like the Ravens games, I actually get jacked up for. Cause
those are grinders.
Grinders, they're intense, there's a lot of juice to them. The Colts just have the Titans number.
They've stolen Porth's heart too many times. Too many times.
The Ravens?
Colts.
Well, yeah, both of them have.
Well, I guess both, yeah.
Yeah.
He's scarred.
The Titans are better than the Colts, you know? You got to embrace that.
Titans Fanatic on Twitter says, the Colts and Ravens have to be the top two teams any diehard Titans fan truly hates. I could see that.
I like that the Jaguars got 13%. But again, I think that's a fan vote, right? That's the thing. Like, when we ask those guys about you know, how fans view that rivalry. But they went to, like, Jeff Saturday. I mean, it's all often different how teams and fans view. Not always. Sometimes it's obvious. The Browns and the Browns fans hate the freaking Steelers, right? I mean, sometimes it's all in. But I think the Jaguars are that fan base rivalry that would probably exceed anyone I would think. If you said, what fan base can you not stand? Although someone had a great point on Twitter. I'm going to see if I can find this. It was basically like, the four AFC North fan bases are the worst.
All four of them.
And it's actually a good point.
I would probably not put the Bengals fan base in there. I'm not sure that they've had enough to really be upset about. But even the Browns, like, they've been so bad. But, like, the moment they have any modicum of success, they are so obnoxious.
Yeah, like, they are the classic front-running, get all excited, and then back to earth. Yeah, it was Eric who said, I find the whole AFC North to have the most insufferable fan bases.
Yeah, it was the Browns fan base that became obnoxious once they unlocked the cooler for the Bud Light when they won that game. What was it, like 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
They won a Thursday night game against the Jets, I think, at home. And because of that win, they, you know, all the fans got free Bud Light. They unlocked the fridge.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Browns fans. They
had a whole lot of wins to celebrate. Give them a little break. They get like 4 a year, if they're lucky.
Yeah, they're somewhat like Lions fans. They just go nuts at the first sign of life at all. But at least they have a little bit of life this year.
It is impressive the two or three different times per show that you're able to somehow navigate your way through and sneak in that gut punch to either the Lions or the Lions fans. It's really impressive.
I'm glad that you notice. Remember, this is all a big parenting project for me, so you have to remember that. I'm trying to put those vibes out there to change a child's life for the better.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. Let's go back to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Heidi from Dixon texts in and says, a former Titans GM I know said he wouldn't even trade with the Steelers ever. That means something to me. So I guess talking about Floyd there, saying I would never trade with the Steelers.
Really? We need to get that. I want to hear that on the record.
I mean, maybe it's Mike Reinfeld. Who knows?
Well, it can't be Mike Reinfeld.
Is Floyd known to hate the Steelers? Like, has he ever talked about that?
Oh, I'm sure he did. I mean, you hear a lot of talk about Steelers Week back in the day when Jeff Fisher was there and Floyd was there too. But you also got to remember, for a lot of that, they're in the same division in the AFC Central. So they saw each other twice.
Yes.
So it's a little different.
I mean, Mike Reinfeldt would have wanted to trade with the Steelers because the Steelers had much better roster than
what
Mike Reinfeldt put together. Same with Rustin Webster.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about him. Like a lot of Titans fans would like to forget about that era.
You should ask Floyd about that next week, next Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
When he comes on.
We'll see if the Steelers were on his no-fly list with trades.
That's like interesting. That.
Or any other team.
Yeah.
Did he completely wipe out the division?
Yeah, I wouldn't think that. But, yeah, see, now, when you were with the Oilers, like you said, I get the idea of, well, I'm not trading with the division rival. But for the most part, you don't want to ever have that as an actual rule, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'll never trade with Team X.
Well, and remember, it's the NFL. Like, trades, especially even back then, they didn't happen a whole lot.
That's true.
Not a whole lot of trades going on.
But right now, everybody says, I want to trade with the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
Oh, man. You talk about it. And they said, we had Jeff Rickard and Joe Stasniak join us earlier from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis and talked about the Colts and the Titans, along with the Texans, competing for the division for the next little bit. I don't know how much competing the Texans are going to be doing in the near future.
Well, they
still have Watson, but they're kind of coming apart at the seams right now.
They got the quarterback, you know. So, but yeah, no, I agree. By the way, on my own text line, I'd just like to say that a friend of mine said those Indianapolis homers sound like Knoxville media.
Wow.
Do we think that they were they did say we and us and
one
you,
of them did, but that's
but
okay.
He played, so that's
different.
That's acceptable. But that in general, I don't like that much.
Well, even the one saying us and we picked the Titans.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Big Joe up there picked the Titans.
Yeah. Look, don't do that to them. The Knoxville media has its fair share of oh boy.
Do you feel like Knoxville media is just Homer Central?
I don't know if it's Homer Central, but you can find a pretty good amount in any big time college football program. You'll have your Homer media.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
oh yes.
We know a few.
Oh, big time. No, Tennessee's they've got an ample arsenal of Homers.
I think there may be some in with Kentucky as well, if I remember correctly. Maybe some Kentucky Homerism too.
Oh, our buddy Matt Jones.
Yeah.
Hey, I give a guy credit. If you're actually wearing like UK shoes, not just the whole
that's
get
impressive.
Up in the hat, but like you know, blue, you know,
Cal T-shirt walking in, just Calipari's face plastered all over the place. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Let's go back to our text line. driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rob texts in, going back to the conversation we were having about A.J. Brown, where does he rank with in terms of wide receivers? Nate Burleson just declared A.J. as elite on Good Morning Football, according to Rob on our text line. So another member of the A.J. Brown is Elite fan club, former NFL wide receiver Nate Burleson.
See, my question for Nate would be, is elite only one group of players?
Yeah, could be.
So
how does he define it?
Because is he saying that he's in that? Because I like tiering. I think tiering is a good way to do it. And does Nate Burleson think that he's in the top tier of receivers? That would be, I think that's a bold statement right now. That's a warm take.
What if he defines elite as like, here's the 15 top, best guys?
Yeah, well, then I'm with him. And I agree. The problem is we don't define all these terms. Number one receiver.
Well, we have learned here on the show that even if we define terms like bye week, you just throw them out anyway. So what difference does it make if we define a term if you don't listen to the definition?
Well,
it's an off week.
Yeah, I'm trying to help the English language. I'm trying to help the English language survive. Okay. It's eroding. Idle's fine, too.
Okay.
You guys don't have to say off. You can say idle. Okay. The Athletic writes idle week, and I'm so...
Oh, we got to stick to the Athletic terms.
Absolutely. I'm very, very happy and proud.
Did you know Joe writes for the Athletic?
Yes. Oh, yes. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com going to join us in the next segment. We'll break down the Titans-Colts matchup with him. But Ryan Porth, you've got an update for us.
I do.
Ah, yes.
The soothing tones.
I feel so much better already.
Of the piano keys from Augusta, Georgia. The Masters leaderboard update. There isn't much of a leaderboard update because they're in a lightning delay in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Three groups teed off, played one hole, and then the lightning came. Brant Snedeker was one of those individuals that teed off. He bogeyed the first hole. He is plus one through one hole. Five players atop the leaderboard at even. Through one hole.
Ooh.
But again, a lightning delay should clear up later this morning, and we should have some pristine golf action at Augusta National here later this morning. A lot of eyes on Bryson DeChambeau, Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson. Loaded field in this year's Masters happening in November and not April. So we will have hourly updates the rest of the day with your leaderboard updates for the Masters brought to you by Music City Golf in Belle Meade for all your golfing needs. And you can catch rounds 3 and 4 of the Masters on ESPN 94.9 this weekend. Coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road, Jim Wyatt of TitansOnline.com previewing Titans Colts on this round 1 of the Masters.